You're listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent in Birmingham, Alabama, a church with a heart for the gospel. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. It's from the 13th chapter, and it reads, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. So you are also to love one another." Oh, it is a real joy to be here. Craig, thank you so much for the kind words of introduction. You said so many times that this was the last thing, the last day for dessert, the last of the Lenten preaching service, that totally unbidden, now the song that's running through my head is that anthem of the greatest of all Scandinavian hair bands, Europe, The Final Countdown. It's just sort of boom, pulsing in my head, and I had to say it out loud, or else it would have distracted me, but thank you for that unexpected gift. Also, it's always great to be here for Lenten preaching. Long before my family moved to Birmingham, before I knew the Advent, the thing that brought me here for the first time, something in the range of 15, 13 years ago, was to come and preach at Lent during one of these Lenten preaching services, and it's always such a gift to come, and now to look out and see people that I think of as friends, family, people from the Advent, people from Birmingham. I see some Beeson students and even staff here. There's at least one student here who listened to me lecture for an hour and a half this morning and showed up for this. Now that's strange to me. That's Lenten discipline. That student clearly thought what I'm giving up for Lent is free time and fun, and they came anyway. But that's what's going on. When I think about Lent, I think particularly of the year 2021. I was living in England at the time. The restrictions around socializing with the ongoing pandemic were pretty strict in the UK, and all the children to go to school had to take COVID tests twice a week and report their results. And one of my daughter's young friends said to me one day, she just came up and kind of tugged on my coat, and she said, "Anna's daddy, do you know what I've given up for Lent? COVID testing." And she was just so thrilled, and it was what I thought, now that's something worth doing. So praise God, and Lent has a sweet spot in my heart for that. This, however, is the Thursday in Lent. All right, Good Friday's coming tomorrow, and we have Holy Saturday, and of course, Easter Sunday. And Holy Thursday, sometimes called Maundy Thursday, sort of tucks right in ahead of those. And the name Maundy Thursday comes from the passage of Scripture that I just read, "A new commandment I give to you." Maundy comes from this strange Latin word, mandatum, which means mandate or commandment. So this is Commandment Thursday. "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you." And the part I want to focus on is actually that phrase, not love one another, but the "just as I have loved you." And I want to focus on that part because it's actually that's first and fundamental. The way God has loved us is before the way we're called to love others. We know this because 1 John 4, for example, says, "We love because he first loved us." Now, there's very significant implications of that. That means that in 1976, when Queen sang those urgent and significant words, they didn't quite hit the bedrock. It's an honest cry of the human heart to say, "Find me somebody to love." But there's a deeper cry of the human heart, and by the mercy of God, it fits the same melody. "Find me somebody who loves me." That's actually a deeper cry. It's first and fundamental. Not just somebody to love, but does anybody love me? But those words, "find" and "me" and "love," sometimes feel like they're hard to put together. in our actual lives. It's this urgent need and deepest hope of the human heart that we can find somebody who loves me. And yet at the same time, human life is often haunted by this fear that if somebody found me, if somebody actually understood and saw and really looked upon me, then they wouldn't and they couldn't love me. And I think this is a deep part of the puzzle and of the pain of real human living, that in our longing to be understood and loved, we often bury that under a fear that if someone actually saw, then that person wouldn't stay. If they actually looked at us, they would look away. There's a peculiar figure who at least some people in this room knew personally. He was a psychiatrist, theologian, pastor, professor. Not a common combination. His name was Frank Lake, and he described this dynamic profoundly, I think. He said, we oscillate between a desire to be understood by communicating and a desire to defend by silence and secret withdrawal. The unspoken assumption is that if we leapt over the boundaries of reserve and actually risked being inwardly known by another person, it would be too painful to bear. But the result of this is that life can become this cruel combination. On the one hand, as the poet George Herbert said, each human being is sighing to be approved. And on the other hand, because of this fear, we often live in the presence of other people as what the novelist Taylor Caldwell calls sealed vessels, keeping our deepest hopes and hurts and histories behind layers of distraction and denial. But here's the thing. When we're trapped inside this habit of hiding rather than honesty, of secrets and shame rather than being seen, then every time "I love you" is spoken to us, we always feel and fear like that "I love you" has a footnote. That the love is not actually for you, but only for what Thornton Wilder calls our poses and postures in front of a mirror. Not actually for us, but just for the image we project. Well, under the surface hides a lonely, longing, yet still unseen someone. Can we find somebody who, if they found me, would love me? Well, here's where I want you to hear Jesus' words again. As I have loved you, he says to the disciples. And we're going to see that love climactically enacted and embodied tomorrow as Jesus goes to the cross, on Saturday as he is in the tomb, and on Sunday as he rises from the dead. But let's just pause on the Thursday for a moment. How did Jesus love his disciples on Thursday? The big events of Thursday are the Last Supper that Jesus celebrates with his disciples, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane praying and eventually being betrayed and arrested, and Jesus washing the feet of his disciples. The immediate context in the Gospel according to John that I read from is Jesus washing his disciples' feet. And this should already tell you something about the kind of love with which Jesus loves them. This is a love that doesn't stay away from, but comes right into the dust and drama of their actual earthy lives. Jesus knows them in their very real human fragility. He washes their feet. This is an intimate, "I see you, probably I smell you" kind of love. But think about the other scene too, the Last Supper that Jesus eats with his disciples. You know, he takes bread, says, "This is my body." He takes wine and says, "This is my blood." Both of them are given for you. But just think for a moment about to whom he's saying those words. He says in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, all four of those gospels, and in a different way in John, all three, and then also in John, he says to them, all of you are going to desert me tonight. None of you are going to stay with me when the Roman officials eventually crucify me because the Jewish officials will arrest me. You're all going to flee. You're all going to go away. One of you is going to betray me and set this whole train in motion. And Peter actually says, even if all the rest fall away, I won't. Oh, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Do you hear how much he sees them? How deeply he understands them, both in their human fragility, just their actual earthy lives, but also not just in their fragility, but in their need to be forgiven. He's speaking to those who will betray, desert, and deny him. And it's those he's saying to, as I have loved you. It's those who are going to desert and deny him to whom he says, this is my body given to you. This is my blood poured out for you. Jesus, it seems, has found somebody to love. And in finding somebody to love, he's answered the deepest cry of every human heart. Can we find somebody who loves me? And Jesus' answer is, you are the one I love. You who need to have your feet washed, you who may deny or desert Jesus, to you I say, my body is broken for you. My blood is poured out for you. As I have loved you, you. This is a love that sees, that stays, and gives away the self for the beloved. To quote a prayer, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known and from whom no secrets are hid. You are known, seen, understood, looked upon by this God. And what he said to his disciples on Thursday, as he ate with them, as he prayed for them, as he washed their feet, is what he's also saying to you right now. You are finally and fully looked upon. And you are forever and fully loved. Because Jesus has found somebody to love. And that somebody is you. Amen.
You've been listening to audio from the Cathedral Church of the Advent. If you live in Birmingham or find yourself visiting, we hope you will join us at one of our Sunday services. Find out more at adventbirmingham.org.